Okay. So, what are we going to treat him with? We said we're worried about staph epi, right? Maybe strep. We're going to not give him any antibiotics. Godzillicillin. Yeah, the pharmacy's running a little low on that particular one. Prayers, we're not in short supply, but what do we want to give this gentleman? Zosyn, did I hear somebody say? How's that for staph epi coverage? Not so good. Ceftriaxone for staph epi. No, I don't think so. Excuse me? What is the antibiotic that we usually run to when we have a staph? Vancomycin, whether it's staph epi or staph aureus. So I'd want to throw in vancomycin as part of this, correct? So I think we've limited the choices a little bit. Talk up, I can't hear. Plus rifampin, good. So if we're going to treat prosthetic valve endocarditis with a staph epi, we want to use vancgent and rifampin. So that's what I would have chose. And we already talked about the bug. So rifampin is a rifamycin. And in addition to mycobacteria, which is typically where you guys think about using it, we'd also want to use it for prophylaxis for meningococcus, right? You get exposed to meninge. And we use it in synergy for staph infections. So we don't use it alone. Resistance develops too quickly. But we do use it in combination. And that pretty much goes for anything that you're going to treat with rifampin. Got to worry about hepatotoxicity. And to give you an idea whether somebody's actually taking it or not, they should be telling you that their urine is discolored. Or you should see that their urine's a little red-tinged. Okay. Next. 83-year-old female with a history of rheumatic heart disease is admitted complaining of fever for 1 month and worsening heart failure. Do you get the impression that we're sort of on a roll here with this sort of type of diagnosis? What do we got here? Subacute endocarditis with what bug? Excuse me?
Enterococcus.
Enterococcus on a native valve. Anybody agree, disagree? It's possible. Strep viridans would probably be the bug that I would be worried about most. So, next slide, please. So, what are we going to treat? Penicillin plus aminoglycoside. Excellent. Anybody else want to say anything else? Different? Disagree? That would be my choice. Sight unseen. And we'd be worried about strep viridans. So next, please. So penicillin. Do you guys ever use penicillin, or do we just throw that one away? So it's really good for strep. We use it for oral anaerobes, right? Oral infections. Spirochetes. Syphilis. We worry about rash and anaphylaxis. If you give very high-dose penicillins, it's just about any penicillin, you have to be worried about the possibility of seizures and interstitial nephritis. So penicillin is actually still a good drug, and we still have uses for it, even though it's fairly cheap. Next. A 43-year-old female with a history of mitral valve prolapse is admitted complaining of fever for 10 days and new heart failure. Her white count is elevated. Echo shows a 1 centimeter vegetation on the mitral valve. Blood cultures are negative at 3 days. What has she got? That's pretty good. Endocarditis. I would be worried about endocarditis with this information. What bugs? Hassock organisms. What are the Hassock organisms?
Echinella,
Anyone? Haemophilus Aphraphilus? Iconella? Kingella? And C. Coronibacterium, I think, if I remember correctly. So what are we going to give this person? What do we do for culture-negative endocarditis? If we're worried about the HACCP organisms. I hear murmurs, but I don't hear anybody volunteering. No? If this was a board question, and you were sitting for your boards, and you had to make a guess, because nothing is not an option, what are you going to use? Imipenem. Yeah, just throw Godzilla cillin at them. I think you're giving overkill here. Anyone else? Can we see what I would have chosen? Ceftriaxone. Or I could have given penicillin plus an aminoglycoside. Okay? Might be worth reading up about the HACCP organisms. Next, please. There are others possible, and obviously you want to do your due diligence and, you know, look for things like Q fever and, I mean, lots of other possibilities. But those would be my choices for initial antibiotic therapy. Next, please. So, ceftriaxone is a third-generation cephalosporin. Really good gram-negative coverage. You want to note that it will not cover Pseudomonas. It does have gram-positive coverage. You also want to use it for Lyme. It's not really the greatest staph drug, so if you're really thinking that this is a staph aureus, and certainly a staph epi, you would not use it. But a strep could be used. Rash, including Stevens-Johnson, you've got to worry about cross allergies with the penicillins. Transaminitis, and with ceftriaxone specifically, you can get gallbladder sludge. You get a syndrome mimicking cholecystitis. All right? So if you see some belly pain, it could be the ceftriaxone. If you're worried about Pseudomonas, you'd probably want to use ceftazidime or maybe a fourth generation cefepime. Okay? Next. All right. 47-year-old HIV-positive female with a CD4 count of 12. So this is pretty typical of our patients who are on the AIDS service, complains of 10 days of a dry cough, fever, and dyspnea on exertion. She's not taking any of her medications on a regular basis. That's probably 30% of my clinic. But her physical exam is unremarkable. What, we're worried about what? PCP, right? So what are we going to choose? Bactrim, right. Good. That was pretty easy. Next. So Bactrim is a sulfonamide. Obviously, we use it for PCP. It's the drug of choice for prophylaxis for toxoplasmosis. And in a pinch, it can be used for the treatment of toxoplasmosis, although usually we use other sulfonamides. It has good gram-positive and gram-negative coverage. MRSA, right? We treat with Bactrim if it's not a particularly severe disease. You'd have to worry about rash, and it does cause Stevens-Johnson syndrome. Be very careful with the sulfonamides. Hepatic necrosis is rare, but has been reported, and it does cause cytopenias, anemia, neutropenia, thrombocytopenia. Next. So we still have a 47-year-old female with a CD4 count of 12. Sounds familiar. But this time she's got 4 days of productive cough, fever, and dyspnea on exertion. Not terribly different. She describes sudden onset of rigors. She's not taking any of her antiretrovirals, but after that last bout, she is now taking Bactrim prophylaxis. Physical exam is otherwise unremarkable. And we have somebody saying mycobacteria. 4 days of a productive cough. Well, I mean, I think you have to think about tuberculosis in the Bronx. I'm not really worried about TB at this point. This is pretty fast. So pneumococcus, excuse me, what would you say?
Aspergillus, maybe?
Also, pretty fast. It's sort of that we would expect to sort of come on a little bit slower. I wouldn't say don't think about it, but they're really not, you know, the neutropenics, you really worry more about aspergillus. There are patients with advanced AIDS who've had multiple courses of antibiotics that do get aspergillus, but I'd really be worried about pneumococcus in this case. So, if we're worried about pneumococcus, what are we going to treat her with? Ceftriaxone. If she was really sick, would you do anything different? You're convinced you had pneumococcus. She's septic. She's going to the unit. Dosin. Meningitis now with pneumococcus. You might want to add vancomycin. If she's really sick, maybe this is one of those bugs that you have a resistant pneumococcus. So ordinarily I'd say ceftriaxone, but if she was really sick, maybe you want to add in vancomycin. Next. Okay. Anyone here fit this description? 23-year-old medical student complaining of 1 week of a dry cough, fever, and physical exam reveals bilateral dry Ralph. Mycoplasma. Anything else? It could be the flu. We can treat this patient with anything. Excuse me? A macrolide. That's what I would treat this person with. And we'd be worried about mycoplasma and possibly chlamydia, right? So, macrolides cover atypicals. Typically, that's what we think about it. It also happens to cover Mycobacterium avium complex. So it's a drug that we use a lot in MAC prophylaxis and in MAC treatment. Does have coverage against gram-positive and gram-negatives, not really extended coverage. But in somebody less sick, you know, you might use it. And mostly just GI upset as far as side effects for the macrolides. Next. Okay. 23-year-old medical student returns from a trip to China, complaining of fever, chills, myalgias, and a non-productive cough and shortness of breath. A CBC reveals lymphopenia, and a chest X-ray is consistent with ARDS. Great. Great. Next, please. So, what are we going to treat a patient with SARS? Ribavirin is exactly the wrong drug to treat with. Ribavirin has been shown to actually worsen SARS. Interesting. There are a couple of case reports with interferon alpha-con 1, but really, who knows? A lot of supportive care. Next, please. Yeah. So, I mean, there's obviously no controlled trials. You definitely don't want to use ribavirin. Okay. Next. Okay. 46-year-old alcoholic male is admitted to the ICU after being found unresponsive on the street. He started on ceftriaxone in the emergency room and transferred to the floors, but the following day he's noted to be hypotensive and has had a witnessed seizure. He's intubated, sedated, and chest X-ray reveals bilateral patchy infiltrates. So Klebsiella, Pseudomonas, what do we got here? Excuse me? An aspiration. Where'd the aspiration occur? Where? He was admitted to the emergency room, went to the floors, and then he had a then he seized, and he now has got this bilateral pneumonia. He aspirated in the hospital. Is that important? That's crucially important. Why is it crucially important? Because your oral flora changes within the first 24 hours you're in the hospital if you're sick. And so it goes from being typically oral anaerobes to gram negatives. And it's gram negatives in the environment that you're in. So you need to know about what environment you're in. And in this particular environment, you'd worry about resistant gram negatives, right? So what are you going to give what are you going to give this patient? Zosyn? Zosyn alone? Excuse me?
Plus aminoglycosides.
You maybe want to use an aminoglycoside. You sort of have to know what's around your units. What did I give him? Zosyn plus an aminoglycoside. Next. Now again, depending on the floor of your hospital, you may want to alter that. Because if you happen to know that you got a really nasty Klebsiella running around on 4A that's resistant to Zosyn, then maybe Zosyn may not be the drug of choice in this particular case. Okay? Next. So, aminoglycosides. Gram negatives, and we use it also for synergy for gram positives. Excellent gram negative drugs. We always worry about your hearing and your kidneys, right, with the aminoglycosides. Next. 23-year-old male is attempting to break into a house when he gets into an argument with a guard dog. The guard dog wins the argument. So he's got a cellulitis or an abscess or a dog bite.
Pasturella
in a dog mouth? Cat. But Augmentin would be the drug. And we're worried about the anaerobes, staph, and strep. The anaerobes from the dog's mouth and staph and strep from your own skin. Okay? So, next please. All right, so we talked, in this case we have a cat. The cat bites the female. She's allergic to penicillins, but not to the cephalosporins. Next. So what are we going to give her? Cefuroxime. So if she's allergic to penicillin, but she can take a cephalosporin, you give cefuroxime. Okay. And Pasturella. Next. All right. 37-year-old graduate student is working with rhesus monkeys and is about to infect one with SHIV when he's bitten on the hand. He washed it out with running water and then povidine. Next. So what are we worried about here? Bless you. I actually got this phone call when I was a fellow. And actually, when I was, I showed this talk this morning to another fellow who got, again, the same phone call when she was a fellow.
Herpes B.
Herpes B. Great. What are we going to treat him with? Acyclovir. Excellent. Excellent. That's the first time I've had anybody get the right answer.
I worked with my business
friend. Great. Can cause a fatal encephalitis. So it is something that, I mean, you know, we're down the street from the zoo, and sometimes a veterinarian is most helpful. There was one month I was on service, we got 3 snake bites on service. Now, why somebody's got a cobra as a pet, I don't know, But occasionally you will see some bizarre things, and with the Bronx Zoo just down the street, you may get called about some pretty weird stuff. Okay. So next. So, acyclovir is a obviously an antiviral. It's a guanosine nucleoside analog. Covers HSV, herpes B, and VZV. It does not really cover CMV. Okay, so if you're worried about CMV, it's not the drug to use. Not really a great drug for EBV as well. Have to worry about the kidneys. And actually, I had a patient who didn't need to be put on high-dose IV acyclovir who got that, wound up ultimately developing renal failure and dying in the hospital and shouldn't have been on the treatment that she got. Confusion is especially more common in the elderly, and occasionally TTP, pretty rare. Next. All right. 26-year-old male comes to see you in clinic complaining of a penile drip. He's been sexually active with multiple partners. Gonorrhea and chlamydia. Okay, so what are we going to treat him with? We got a whole bunch of choices here, right? So there's actually several. There are more than one answer here. So can we see? You could choose ceftriaxone and azithromycin. That's probably what most people use. Could use ceftriaxone and doxy. Or you could potentially use cipro plus azithromycin. The cipro for GC. The problem is that there are increasing reports of cipro resistance in GC. Started out in Hawaii and, like everything, they spread it to the mainland. Next. So GC and chlamydia. So doxy, tetracycline, right? It's probably underused because it's cheap, and we don't like to use cheap antibiotics, so we use more expensive ones. But gram-positives and gram-negatives, spirochetes, anaerobes, cover some atypicals, malaria, and babesia, actually. Adverse reactions, we've got to remind people to stay out of the sun, and GI upset. Next. All right. 25-year-old female comes to see you in clinic complaining of a painful right knee. Exam reveals a swollen, tender knee with limited range of motion, and she's otherwise well-appearing. Staff? In an otherwise healthy 23-year-old. I heard the right answer. Gonococcus, right? You notice there are themes here, and these we've talked about endocarditis, now we're talking about sexually transmitted diseases. So we're going to give her what? Ceftriaxone. Excellent. Good. All right. A 25-year-old nun with Still's disease comes to the ER complaining of a painful right knee. You really believe that she's not sexually active. And occasionally you'll be wrong, but hopefully you're right. Exam reveals a tender, swollen knee with limited range of motion, and she's febrile. Staff. Good. Could it be anything else? She's got a really messed up knee. It's possible. I would treat her first and then get the cultures. Excuse me? I would be really, at this point, I mean, it's certainly Lyme is a possibility, but it's not at the top of my list. Yeah, so I would give her vancomycin, worry about staph and strep. Now, it's certainly, you might consider even adding ceftriaxone in this case, because it could be gram-negative. Next. Okay. 42-year-old male with no past medical history comes to the ER complaining of severe headache, fever, and stiff neck for 12 hours. Bugs. Pneumococcus and meninge. Okay. So what are you going to give him? Ceftriaxone plus Vanco. Yeah, you don't want to make a mistake. Okay? This person's going to be dead in a few hours. All right? So you worry about a resistant pneumococcus. So I would add initially the vancomycin. Okay. 42-year-old male with AIDS comes to ER complaining of severe headache, fever for 2 weeks. Is this pneumococcus or meninge? Crypto? Anything else?
TB.
Good. Well, you could have toxo, but we're going to assume that the CAT scan is negative. No focal signs. So we're going to treat either with Ampho plus 5FC, flucytosine, and, you know, depending on our suspicion, maybe, you know, 4TB TB drugs. Probably you're going to get the India ink, you're going to get an AFB. You probably won't have to wait long until you make some sort of decision. Next slide, please. You probably don't have to jump necessarily on the TB that first couple minutes. Okay. So amphotericin B, good old shake and bake, right? Shake and bake, why? Fever, and what's the shake? Rigers, okay? Nephrotoxicity, anaphylaxis, hepatotoxicity. Boy, this is a nasty drug. Anemia, thrombocytopenia, hypokalemia, hypomagnesemia, seizures, cardiotoxicity, and GI upset. So it just gets everything. But a very useful drug. Next. A 42-year-old male with AIDS is brought to the ER complaining of severe headache, bizarre behavior, and fever for 5 days. What do we got? Herpes. Good. Sort of subacute, a few days to a week. While you worry about, you know, bacterial and maybe some of the others, this really smells like herpes. So we give it acyclovir. Next. A 26-year-old female complains of dysuria for 3 days. What's the bug? E. coli. Great. So what are we going to give her? Cipro. Probably. There's too much ampicillin resistance around here. So, fluoroquinolones. Good gram-positive and gram-negatives. Really not stellar staff coverage, but it can cover staff. Excuse me, I'm pulling off the microphone here. Worry about GI upset. There are cases of Stevens-Johnson. It can cause bone marrow suppression. Tendon rupture is the thing that you sort of read about in the textbooks, right? And possibly seizures. Next. All right. 109-year-old female with a chronic indwelling Foley catheter is admitted from a nursing home with fever. The remainder of the physical exam is as normal as it gets for a 109-year-old. What are our choices here? So she's got a urinary tract infection, right? What are we going to treat her with? Excuse me? What are we going to... Come on. Zosyn. Anyone else want to make a choice? Ceftriaxone may not be the ideal choice. Why? She's 109 years old and she's got an indwelling Foley catheter. She's probably been in and out of the hospital about 40 times. She's in a nursing home. She's probably got pretty resistant bugs. And if you have access to her old records, you go on a look and see what she's had in the past, right? If you don't have access to those records, what are you going to treat her with?
Bactrim?
Not a great choice if you're really worried about multiply resistant gram negatives. Okay, what you probably don't want to do in a 109-year-old who's got a creatinine clearance of about 3, is probably at least initially give her an aminoglycoside. And she's not, she doesn't, at this point, I haven't told you that she's hypotensive and septic and looks like she's going to die, right? So maybe you're going to give her Zosyn or maybe even imipenem. Again, depending on sort of what information you have, and unless you know that she's got a really horribly resistant bug, you're probably going to want to avoid the aminoglycosides at first. So, okay. Next. So, imipenem, our Godzillacillin, right? Gram-negatives, positives, and anaerobes. It covers almost everything except the Klebsiellas that are around here. You have to worry about seizures, right? So if you were thinking about imipenem, maybe you use meropenem if you're worried about seizures and anaphylaxis. Next. All right. 109-year-old female with a chronic indwelling Foley catheter has yeast in the urine. She's afebrile. The remainder of her physical exam is normal. What are our choices? Fluconazole. Change the catheter. Is that it? Yep. Why would you use fluconazole? If you have a chronic indwelling Foley catheter, it's going to be colonized with something. You don't have to give antibiotics if somebody is not symptomatic. I mean, there's nothing, I mean, because you'll just be chasing, and that's how we create multiply resistant bugs, right? So I agree. We don't do much of anything here. She's going to have something in her urine. It might as well be candida. So none of the above. So no antibiotic. It's often the best choice. Antibiotics are not antipyretics. Everybody with a fever does not have to have an antibiotic, right? The common cold responds better to tea and lemon than cephalotramine. It's cheaper than Godzillacillin, and it's less likely to have adverse reactions than you falling asleep during a lecture by Dr. Norton. Okay. 63-year-old male complains of urinary frequency and dysuria. On exam, he has a tender prostate. Okay? Doesn't take a genius to figure out what he's got. Prostatitis. Right? So what are we going to give him? Cipro. Good. That's what I would give him. And he's probably got a gram negative. All right? A 23-year-old male steps on a nail, it punctures his sneakers, and he develops a cellulitis on the sole of his foot. Pseudomonas. Great. What are we going to treat him with? You could use piperacillin. Well, I don't use that very much here because everybody uses Zosyn. Right? But I probably would give him an aminoglycoside initially. He's 26 years old. His kidneys are probably working. I might be concerned that maybe we don't have initially the right choice. And if he's got a strep or a staph, you're giving him some synergy coverage as well. Next. A 26-year-old diabetic male is admitted complaining of fever, redness, and swelling of his right leg. What are we going to give him? Unison. Why? Excuse me? He's got a cellulitis. Excuse me? He's diabetic. He's more likely to have some other things than somebody who's not diabetic. So I agree. I would give him Unison. Obviously, you may need to reevaluate, but Unison would be a good choice. Okay. 26-year-old male, well, assuming he's not diabetic this time, complains of redness, swelling, and tenderness of his right arm after sustaining a paper cut. Gotta watch out for those papers. That's why we're going electronic. It's a safety issue. Next. So what are we going to give him? He's not penallergic. So Bactrim, I heard. Keflex. Those are both good choices. So you could use Keflex, or you could maybe even add Bactrim if you're worried about MRSA, right? And the clindamycin is also a drug that we don't use a lot because it's cheap, but also might be a choice, staph and strep. So clindamycin, malaria, babesia, toxo, pretty good gram-positive coverage, anaerobes. We worry about C. diff with clindamycin, rash, and increased LFTs. Next. 26-year-old male, he gets around. Complaining of redness, swelling, and tenderness of his right arm after sustaining a paper cut. He's placed on Keflex, but the redness and the swelling progress. Okay, what are we going to do now? Next. Vanco.
Bactrim plus Vanco.
Why Bactrim plus Vanco? Vanco doesn't have great strep coverage. Vanco covers strep pretty good. Nafcillin. He's already failed Keflex. I don't think I would choose Nafcillin. You could use clindamycin. Right? I know it's cheap, but... he could have a strep. He could have a MRSA. You could have one of those sort of rapidly progressive streps, which clindamycin would be a really good choice. 58-year-old male is admitted complaining of fever, swelling, and redness of his upper right thigh, scrotum, and right lower abdomen of 6 hours duration. He's toxic appearing. Fournier's gangrene. So what are we going to give him? Surgery. Surgery, great. He needs to go to the OR. Are we just going to send him to the OR? So you could throw the kitchen sink at him. He's really sick. He's going to die unless he goes to the OR and he gets broad spectrum coverage. Okay, so you're going to throw some gram-positive, some gram-negative, some anaerobe coverage, and you're going to get the surgeons there the second you look at his leg. Next. So surgery. Not really sure what class. The coverage can be difficult. You page one, it's somebody else's team. Adverse reactions, you just have to understand that that's a possibility. But you have to remember that antibiotics sometimes don't work alone and that you really need incision and drainage. You know, the surgeons really can help you out. If you don't take some people to surgery, they're going to die. So surgery is necessary often as a combination to medical therapy. Okay? Next. 46-year-old male office worker comes to the emergency room complaining of myalgia, fever, malaise, followed by development of respiratory symptoms, including severe dyspnea and hypoxia. Chest x-ray reveals a widening of the mediastinum. What do we got? Anthrax. Excellent. What are you going to use for anthrax? Cipro. Any other choices? Doxy. Good. Cipro or doxy would be choices. Good. Anthrax. Next. All right. 58-year-old male is admitted to the SICU after being involved in a motor vehicle accident. After 3 days, pus is noted to be coming out of the exit site of his CVP. The entire tunnel is tender, with erythematous tracking along the tunnel, and he's toxic appearing. What are we going to do for this guy? Next, please. Pull the catheter. You cannot treat a tunnel infection with the catheter in place. Period. End of story. you need to pull the catheter. You can't change it over a wire. You need a new stick. But I'm not happy with just pulling the catheter, am I? Because he doesn't look good. So what are my choices here? Thanko alone? I'm sorry, guys, got to talk up. I'm hard of hearing. Zosyn? Hello? I don't like Zosyn. Why don't I like Zosyn? Where has he developed this infection? He's in the SICU. He doesn't look good. In the SICU, if you don't look good, is Zosyn appropriate? Imipenem. Is imipenem appropriate alone?
No, with Vanco.
With Vanco. Yeah, because you worry about staff, but you worry about resistant gram negatives. Next. So that's what I would choose. And remember, you get to go back for a second. Hit the B key. B. Just remember, you got to look at the antibiotic flora of the unit that you're in for somebody like this, okay? So if you happen to know that a particular bug is in the unit, have been sort of making its way from bed A to bed B to bed C, and now you're seeing bed D looking sick, you need to know about that, okay? Next. All right, 73-year-old, how am I doing on time, by the way? Good, okay. 73-year-old male is admitted complaining of fever and a productive cough. He's noted to have an infiltrate on chest x-ray. He started on ceftriaxone and azithro, and he appears to be improving. The day is to be discharged. He complains of diffuse abdominal pain and fever. He had a few loose stools the evening before, but none today. His abdomen is very tender, and he's toxic appearing. C. diff. What are we going to do? Oral vanco, metronidazole. We're missing something here. We need the surgeons. Yeah, he's got toxic megacolon. He may perf, he may die. If you have really severe C. diff, you have to call the surgeons to help you out. Right? Colectomy may be the only thing that saves his life, possibly. If you're going to give vancomycin, you may want to give it not only orally, but per rectum. Because if he's got toxic megacolon and ileus and nothing is moving, if you're giving it to him in his stomach, where does it stay? It's not absorbed. It stays in the stomach. And if he's got an ileus and nothing is moving, or he's got an NG tube, and you're sticking an NG tube, you're sticking the drug down, and you're clamping it for half an hour, guess what? It's going to come back right out the NG tube. Next. All right, metronidazole. Great anaerobic coverage. GI upset, dizziness, seizures, a disulfiram-like reaction, right? So you want to tell patients, don't drink alcohol. And a metallic taste. Next. A 19-year-old female office worker, not in the same office as the last guy, presents in the winter complaining of a sore throat, a dry cough, coryza, and malaise for 3 days. She denies fever but has had a few loose stools. Her exam reveals a mildly erythematous pharynx and nasal hyperemia. Next, please. What are we going to give her?
Nothing.
Good. Yeah, she's got a virus. All right, now, maybe if she had some underlying disease and you were really worried about it and it was flu season, and there was some reason to give her an antiviral, but she's probably going to get over this. You know, especially if she's presented after the first 48 hours, you're probably going to ignore it. And unless it's, you're worried about H1N1, you're just going to tell her to go home and wait it out. Next, please. All right. We have this same 19-year-old female office worker presents in the winter complaining of sore throat, dry cough, coryza, malaise for 3 days. This morning she developed a rapidly enlarging, painful right-sided facial swelling. And her exam reveals a very tender, hot right parotid. Okay, so the diagnosis, hopefully you've got it now, is what? Hopefully not. Hopefully not. Hopefully she's been immunized. She's probably got a bacterial peritonitis. With what bug? Hello? Somebody said anaerobes. What's the most common cause of peritonitis in the United States, where most of the people really are immunized? I didn't put a Quaker. I could have made it more challenging. Staph. So, Napsilin, unless you're worried about MRSA, maybe you give her Bactrim or, you know, depending on how sick she is, something else. Next. 57-year-old female presents complaining of 3 months of chronic pelvic lower abdominal pain. An x-ray of her abdomen reveals an IUD, which she says she's had for 20 years. Yeah, I've seen this before. What is this? Actino. Great. Penicillin. Yeah, we still have use for that drug. We lost Okay. So we're going to give her penicillin. Next. Right. Good. So.
Is that me?
No. So when we're thinking about approaching antibiotics, the correct approach depends upon the patient and the setting, right? So a 19-year-old is different from a 79-year-old. Somebody who's been in an intensive care unit is different from somebody in a nursing home, which is different from somebody who's been out on the street. The correct choice for one patient with an infection is not necessarily the same for another patient who's got a different host, a different time course, different location of acquisition, and a different mode of acquisition. And remember, sometimes antibiotics are not enough alone. You need the help of your surgeons. You can only heal with cold steel. So, thanks.